Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Verwunschlick. I'm an American living in Hong Kong and Berlin. And the title of my talk is Dust and the Origin of the Universe. Do I need this? Can you all hear me? Okay. You want? Okay. And okay. So I guess I'm at the end of the presentation, but I'd like to say that all the ones that I have heard, I've been very impressed with the work that's going on. And there are variations, many variations to dust. And I think you all know that. Well, I'd like to go the same way. I'm going to present something related to dust and the origin of the universe. Okay? Preface. Dust may be an annoyance in our everyday view of what we see on Earth, but, and there's always a but, cosmic dust that permeates interstellar space also affects what we see and is important in our understanding of the origin of the universe. Okay. Introduction. In 1926, and many of you know this, but logically I have to go through this. Hubble's redshift measurements of light from distant galaxies suggested the universe was expanding, and thereby he supported Einstein's general relativity theory. And the expanding universe, however, was based on velocity measurements of distant galaxies inferred from Doppler redshifts of light from those galaxies. Now the observation, my observation, galaxy velocities from redshifts have led science to believe the universe is expanding and dark matter is necessary to hold galaxies together. You all know this. Proposal I'd like to make. The general relativity is questionable because galaxy velocities from redshift are overstated by cosmic dust. There's the dust again. Quantum mechanics versus classical physics. This argument has been going on for at least 100 years. But in a way, I have to continue it. Classical physics allows atoms in quantum-sized cosmic dust particles to fluctuate in temperature. However, the Planck law of quantum mechanics forbids temperature fluctuations under high electromagnetic confinement. I'll try to show you. This is the Planck law. You all know this. Here, E is the energy of the atom. H is Planck's constant. C is the speed of light. K is Boltzmann's constant. And T is absolute temperature. Now, when you look at this equation, the most important term is the wavelength. The confinement wavelength is very important. And if you look at this, you can see that if you take lambda to infinity, you can show that the Planck energy of the atom is equal to kT, which you know from classical physics. All of you know that. However, if you take lambda going to zero, and again, going through the mathematics, you will show that the Planck energy of the atom does not exist. Zero. And in passing, most of the astronomy was based on kT for the atom, even in cosmic dust. So that's kind of the background. EM confinement. High electromagnetic confinement of atoms and cosmic dust is a natural consequence of the high surface-to-volume ratio of nanoparticles. And you all know this. And upon the absorption of galaxy light, almost all of the photon energy is deposited in the dust surface. Excuse me. And the confinement occurs because the dust temperature cannot increase to relieve the surface heat by thermal expansion. If the cosmic dust could change in temperature, it would expand a little bit and there would be no confinement. This is what happens in classical physics, but it doesn't happen in quantum mechanics. Optical redshift. Here you see an expression for what they were measuring. Z here is redshift. And these increments, delta lambda V and delta lambda D, are the change in wavelength caused by the recession velocity of the galaxy, and the what I include here is the change in wavelength due to the dust. And here I repeat that. And actually what Hubble was measuring in 1926, he thought he was getting Z sub V, but he was getting the combination of the two. Now the Doppler shift, this is the galaxy velocity measurement. What you see here is the velocity of the galaxy V divided by the speed of light C. And this is the expression. And if you take the Z measurements much less than one, you can show this comes out very simple. V over C is equal to what Z measurement. And in 1970, the M31 redshift of the, this is the nitrogen 2 line, the 6583 angstrom, is what they use. And the Z that they were measuring were less than 0.001, so this says they had a result of 6.5 angstroms out of 6583 angstroms. If you go through the numbers, and I'm doing this to give you a feel, it comes out around 300 kilometers per second. This is roughly less than that. But this is what they were measuring in 1970. Now, simple QED. This is when you think of QED, you think of refinement. But what I'm presenting here is a simple version of that. And in contrast to Feynman, the simple QED, this is a verifiable theory because I talk about real photons and galaxy light and cosmic dust. Feynman used virtual photons. And briefly stated, under the quantum mechanical restriction, that the heat capacity of the atom vanishes, the galaxy light absorbed in the dust surface creates standing electromagnetic radiation inside the cosmic dust, having a half wavelength lambda over 2 equal to D. Here D is the diameter of the dust. And the Planck energy of that wave is given here. It comes out to be hc over 2 in D. N here is the refractive index of the dust because it slows down the speed of light in the dust. Now the summary to this point, simple QED converts the galaxy photon as a particle to a wave in cosmic dust and back to a redshifted particle. So in a way this is the wave-particle duality. Here you see a particle, diameter B, galaxy photon coming in, AC over lambda. I show it as a particle. Why? Because it's in the vacuum, outer space. It all goes into the surface because of the high surface to volume ratio. No temperature change by quantum mechanics. How do you conserve that? Well, create a photon inside, lambda over 2 equal to D. And it comes off then as a redshift photon, as a particle now, because in In the vacuum, it can only be a particle. In a way, this is wave particle duality for simple QED. This is the redshift, 2d minus lambda over lambda. Discussion, universe expansion, dark matter. I have many more. I have no time. Okay? Universe expansion. In 2001, supernova SN was found brighter than expected by redshift, and this implied accelerated universe expansion. Here I show brightness. The observer is shown here in O. He looks up, he sees a supernova. Because of the brightness, he thinks it's there. But when he goes to measure the redshift, what he finds? He finds that the same object looks further away. Okay. So you can see the expanding of the universe is an illusion. It's really caused by cosmic dust, ZD greater than zero. Dark matter. In the 1970s, I already alluded to this, the spiral galaxy M31 was found to have a flat velocity curve, and this implied dark matter. Here I show a picture of the galaxy. You can see it's rotating counterclockwise. And on edge view, if you look, you see velocity versus radius. This is from Newtonian mechanics. No general relativity. Velocity increases and falls. The falling curve. But when they measure it with redshifts, what they find is a higher velocity, shown here in yellow, and larger magnitude. This is what I'm saying about overstating the velocity. I take the same plot, put a nucleus here, coordinate system, x, y, as you can see, angle theta to a radial location, r, and this location is really the dust. Throughout the galaxy, there's much dust all over the place. And each dust particle is located in this manner. So, the velocity curve then here, the velocity curve here, y is equal to r sine theta, and the velocity of v/y will be c times z. But z is always this, and for the same diameter and refractive index of a dust particle, you get the same velocity, right? So you get a flat curve because it's caused by cosmic dust. There's no dark matter. Conclusion. By refuting current cosmology for dark matter and universe expansion, perhaps cosmology, if it wants to accept reality, will return from general relativity to expanding universe to Newtonian mechanics, which is what Einstein originally proposed. On the web, this is my home page. You can check, there's a presentation in Rome in the first part of this month. And then there I go through much more detail. It's more of a 25-minute presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. This is the time for a question, a very quick question.
Who believes in dark matter? Anyone? Well, a lot of people do and a lot of people don't. So.
Stephen Hawking believes.
Pardon me?
Stephen Hawking believes. No, it's a practice.
Okay, sorry. But since you are just luminous, so it emits some radiation or not?
What?
Can it be visible or not, this dust? Because
this dust, I didn't say that. Again, there's limited time. that these dust particles are less than 500 nanometers. Most of the conference here, you people have been dealing in macro particles, greater than 1 micron. But if you're less than 500 nanometers, you have the quantum effect. And if you have large particles, the temperature does go up. But for nanoparticles, there can be no temperature. This problem has been around for some time. This is nothing new. They're using KT for atoms, discrete atoms, molecules. It's not right. But what you're touching on here is something that Planck would have argued 100 years ago. I wish he were here, but he's not. Yeah. I was hoping you wouldn't ask the question because I'm having trouble with your English before you say it. Again?
Where is
I'm sorry.
Missing class.
There is none.
No,
where is it? It doesn't exist. You can't find. People are trying to measure this dark matter, right? They have not been able to measure it. You know that? Everyone should know that. But it was thought to exist because the velocity curve they got, the yellow curve I showed you back there, remember that? Was higher than what was predicted by Newtonian mechanics. That's why they said, how can that be? How can you have a flat curve? The curve should fall off. Well, recently what has happened, they found within the last few years, again there was no time, it was called the ghost galaxy. It's transparent. It's transparent, there's no dust, there's no dark matter. You understand? They conclude there's no dark matter, but the reason I'm giving you there's no cosmic dust. Okay. Thank you.
For being in this session, I would like to remember you that there is the closing ceremony and the awards. Thank you.